Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. We welcome back a fine guest. He's the returning champion. He's Dr. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, you're one of my favorite radio buddies, man. Always great when you come around. Thanks for doing so.
It's good to see you. I'm sure it's hot down there if it's hot up here. And I'm very sorry to hear about the storms you folks had. We had storms, but nothing, I think, on the scale that you've had. But it was so hot when I came up here to work at the computer that I couldn't put on my baseball cap or Packers cap to join you. I apologize.
Come on, man. A couple of homers like us, we always got to wear it. The weather here in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, 96 degrees currently.
It's today is 96?
Right now, it's 96 degrees at my location.
Yeah, that's coming up north by tomorrow. Today, they gave us a break. We're more like 85, but it's just a hot and humid 85, which I feel for you, really do.
Well, you know, quite frankly, we survived the storms. We'll survive the heat. I try not to complain about the summer heat because the winter is what kills me, man. I've been living in Wisconsin like 50 of my 52 years. What can I say? We chose this place to live.
Well, here's a thought. When it's cold, you can add layers of clothing. When it's hot, if you're outside, there's only so many layers you can take off, and then there ain't nothing left, you know?
Oh, I'm like the dogs. I just lay in the shade.
By the way, I don't want to let the question of heat get by. I want to congratulate you on the heat that you brought to Fox the other evening, and it hit Twitter, and we loved it, absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it. You know, I'm something of a media whore, and I've always answered the call. You know, you ask me to come and be on your show, be on your whatever. I always try to say yes. I mean, hell, just short of weddings and bar mitzvahs. But, you know, I've always said yes to Fox News. And, you know, I've been threatening to the audience for a long time, Harvey. I've been threatening, you know, next time they ask, I'm just going to go and burn it up. I'm going to be smug. I'm going to, you know, attack the network if appropriate. And there were a couple of times. Last time I was on, just barely a month ago, disinformation boards. And I was so willing and ready to call Fox News a disinformation network. And then moments before we went on the air, they took the whole interview a different direction. That's the most frustrating part is, you know, they don't want you to be well prepared. They want you to seem little uneasy. You cannot see the host. You cannot see your other panelists. You're sitting in a dark studio, bright lights on your face. Joe Biden's policies suck. Defend him, Crudy. You know, and at some point you just think to yourself, and I mean, literally it was two birthdays in a row, Harvey. I got invited on Fox two birthdays in a row. My last vacation out of town, you know, so I try to say yes, but you know, I got together with Dominic and my college buddies the last time I was on, like the April for the NFL draft. Couldn't even enjoy the weekend. So, you know, every time I go on, I'm a little hungover. I'm usually a little hangry. And I just took it out on the Fox News panelists. You know, their lack of live J6 coverage was malarkey, in my opinion.
First, I want to make a remark, and then I'm going to tell you a story to to encourage you.
I love a story on the radio. Tell a good story.
So first, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to sympathize with you, that I understand now they won't be giving you the $10,000 a month retainer check to show up once a month, right?
Oh, Fox News contributor? No, that seems so unlikely. Harvey, they couldn't afford me.
Okay, but here's the story. 8 years ago, around this season, somewhere between Mother's Day and Father's Day, it was 8 years ago, when my book, The Fight for the Four Freedoms, What Made FDR and the Greatest Generation Truly Great, I got an invitation to go on Fox Business News with the midday guy, Stuart Varney.
Oh, sure.
The guy with the English accent. And this is a bit of a story. I hope you don't mind. So here's the deal. I said, sure. I thought, why not? And they sent me, they had what seemed to me very decent thing. The producers actually sent me the questions that he had hoped to speak to me, ask me about.
Oh, you got the Donna Brazil treatment.
Well, that's what I thought it was going to be. I mean, they were really good questions, and I kind of worked through them in my head. And then I went in, and I even think my publisher flew me into New York to be in studio for the event.
Oh, big shot.
Yeah, big shot is right. Yeah. There's another word that starts with SH and ends in T, but we won't go there right now. Okay. So I go to the studio, which is actually just across the street in sort of the Rockefeller Center area from where my publishers, Simon & Schuster, are. And, you know, I was in the green room, and then I was in the makeup room, and then I walked in to Stuart Varney at the desk, and I had Googled him because I wanted to know something about him. And it turned out that both he and I, around the same time, had been at the London School of Economics. He's English, and I was over as a graduate student. And then it turned out that he was now living in New Jersey. We were about the same age, as a matter of fact. So when I sat down before we began the broadcast, he said, "So how are you?" I said, "I'm really excited to be here." He said, "No, you're not." I said, "Why shouldn't I be? We're about the same age. We were both at the London School of Economics." Well, those were back in the commie days of the London School of Economics. This is, I could see that he was really ready to go. So when it started, first they were making comments about the Pope, talking about inequality. Then they were talking about the taxes in New York under de Blasio. I mean, it was this kind of stuff. So then he turns to me and he says, you like de Blasio and Warren and these kind of folks. He said, "Tell me, what do you think would be a fair tax rate here in New York City?" Which, by the way, had nothing at all to do with what I was supposed to be doing there. So I said, "Well, you guys have a lot of really great public services. I imagine it's worthwhile to pay high taxes. Give me a number," he said. For 5 minutes, he harangued, and for 5 minutes, I basically stonewalled, and I could hear the producer in my ear, you know, because of those things they put in your ear, say, "You got to make this guy speak. He's embarrassing you." Is that kind of stuff? So the end of the 5 minutes, that was it. They were not going to keep me on for 10 minutes. So I got up to leave. And his woman, they had a woman and another guy as his sidekick. She came running down the hall near the studio and said, "You got to give him a number. If you give him a number of what the tax rate would be, we'll have you back on the show on a regular basis." And I said, "WTF, why would I want to be back on this show? Yeah. You guys are worthless." So when I saw that you had done that, I thought that is really good. I wish I had been that good on Fox Business News.
You know, it's funny. I'll tell one last out of school story and then we'll move on to politics. The earned income tax credit, when the Pope was talking about the inequality in the world, I had U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin on the show one day, and a good progressive from Wisconsin, one of our favorites, my senator. The other one I claim a little less, talking about Ron Johnson.
Well, the other senator is not mine either. So just for the record,
nobody's senator in this panel. But anyway, so I asked Tammy Baldwin, I said, "Tammy, you know, you and Donald Trump and the Pope all think we should close the earned income tax loophole." And she had a good giggle out of it. And then she said, "Yeah, I believe it. And Trump believes it. And, you know, the Pope talked about inequality." So anyways, that was one of these specific policies. I got her politifacted over it. Poor Tammy Baldwin gets politifacted on whether or not the Pope's for an earned income tax credit, because Crudy's being a smartass with her, as I occasionally am.
But I will tell you this. I actually posted the video of Varney and me battling it out on YouTube, and I was getting literally practically dunned by Fox Business News saying that I had to take it down. And I said, "Wait a minute, you always post your videos. This is the only video in weeks that you have not posted. Did I really embarrass your host that much?" And they went on and on and on. I never took it down. It's still there. Sometime I'll send it to you.
Well, that's funny. I never thought there'd be any chance that they would post the video of me and Mike Emanuel going round and round. But they did.
But did your family tape it for you?
My son had. And my wife actually was so embarrassed by the fact she doesn't like contention. You know, like if me and the kids are arguing politics, I got a 15-year-old who, you know, I like the fact we're now getting to the point we argue politics. She doesn't like the contentiousness. So when I started fighting back, she got a little embarrassed and left the room. She didn't even have any idea what I had said until I came home and I told her. And she's like, "Oh, no."
Well,
So that's funny. My she's wife very proud of me. Very proud.
My wife taped it, and that's how we were able to post it. The other thing was, when I came out, the publicist that I worked with at the publishing house said, "Oh, I feel so bad that I set you up for that." I said, "Don't feel bad. I feel bad that I actually took them seriously when they sent me the questions. I'm the idiot. I'm the fool, not you and not them. I'm the fool."
Did they ask you for talking points? Because Fox News always asked me for talking points. I'm like, who's got time for talking points? It was obvious.
One of the producers must have read the book. The questions they asked in their prepare me. I thought they were great. And by the way, that's the other funny part. All of the questions that they asked while we were arguing were actually being streamed under the screen. You know how Fox and those places have all this streaming stuff underneath? Mm-hmm. The questions they were supposed to ask me were streaming underneath. It was a farce, truly a farce.
Well, let's not make this fine show a farce. My fine guest, he is Dr. Harvey Cave, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and we could swap radio and TV stories all day. but let's talk about politics, and let's talk about inflation for just a minute. Every time a righty calls, Joe Biden gas prices. Well, obviously, we're all affected by gas prices. We know the gas prices, I believe, national average, $5 a gallon. But we don't talk much about, the gouging going on or the fact that Republicans are intransigent. They don't want to solve this problem. They just want to blame it on Joe Biden. So let's start there. How do the Dems talk about inflation, be reasonable, have a thoughtful conversation when you're arguing with less than thoughtful people?
Yeah, I don't think I'd bother with the thoughtful conversation, frankly. I would tell the Dems, you can imagine what I would tell the Dems. I'd tell the Dems to hold daily news briefings in which they talk about gouging. They can readily explain supply chains are what they are. And by the way, they should make it clear. The supply chain problem is because of corporate change. The corporations, by the way, over the many 30 past years, they went to that, what is it called, order on time or something like that, where they don't
logistics. It's logistics.
Logistics, right? In other words, they need the orders to demand the product from their factories, and they expected everything to move at a quick pace to all the stores from Walmart to Kmart, Target, whatever the store might be. Well, the fact is that they didn't expect this kind of stuff. And so what they've done is they have failed to be ready. And seriously speaking, I think probably Biden should talk about some kind of executive order where we could, maybe we could nationalize the oil companies for about 3 months. We could send in federal regulators right into the oil company offices. And maybe we should do a whole series of initiatives that would literally point the finger in the direction that it ought to be pointed. To the big corporations, oil companies and others.
What about the sovereign nations that are the big oil producers? There's new reporting at Fortune magazine. Donald Trump made a deal with MBS from the Saudi prince, made a deal with the Russians, and he was seeking to have them cut production like 10 million barrels a day. And he bragged about it via Twitter before the deal was public. He's out there bragging about it because, he can't keep his mouth shut. But he was effectively tampering with the oil prices, cutting the world supply. And, you also look at the actions of the oil companies. Well, there's been different oil crashes, and they don't want to drill more wells unless it's very profitable for them to do so. So suddenly we have a supply side problem, and that's Joe Biden's fault. Yeah. But we'll talk more, Harvey. Right.
I'm sure.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates. I didn't mean to throw so many rando thoughts at you, Harvey. We'll come back, give you a chance to respond. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Harvey, I know it's Tuesday. This feels like Thursday or Friday already.
Monday
was like 4 days long.
I know. I know.
Buddy, we'll survive. We'll make it to the weekend. I always do.
You bet.
More Devil's Advocates, more with Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's a great radio buddy and a fine guest. We're going to talk about an economic bill of rights when we return.
This is a house of learned doctors.